Blog Talk Radio.
Hot town, summer in the city. Back of my neck's getting dirty and gritty. Bend down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around, people looking half dead, walking on the sidewalk harder than a match here. But at night it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on and dance all night. Keep out the heat, it'll be alright. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the nights in the summer. In the city, in the summer, in the city. Cool town, meeting in the city. Dressed so fine and looking so pretty. Cool cat, looking for a kitty. Gonna look in every corner of the city. Till I'm wheezing like a bus stop, running up the stairs, gonna meet you on the rooftop. But at night it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on, if that's all night. Just like the heat, it'll be alright. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the nights in the summer. In the city, in the summer, in the city.
This is Carlos Antonio Montenegro, and I'm a licensed California bail agent living and working in the city of Los Angeles. Thank you for joining me here so very early in the morning. I'd like you to know that the American Bail Agents Union can help you if you are a licensed bail agent and you're working at a bail agency and you feel that your rights, civil rights are being violated or that you're being discriminated against. Please email us at AmericanBailAgentUnion@gmail.com. Good morning, America. Wow, it's certainly great to be back here. Yesterday's show was on the 23rd, was a fantastic show. We had lots of good comments, lots of controversy, and that's what I'm all about, controversy. If we don't have any controversy and talk about all these little dirty little secrets of the industry, how are we going to be able to progress and reform this industry and make it become respectable for not only the industry, but for the American people. Today's topic is, should surety companies be held legally accountable for bail agencies discriminating against African Americans, disabled people, GLBT community members, gypsies, and prostitutes? We're also going to talk about 10 reasons for California bail agencies to go union. And you know, I'm the chairman of the American Bail Agents Union, and I'm going to pound this topic about the union until every bail agency in California goes union. Join me today to discuss these very controversial topics and why the California bail industry needs to become organized with the union, protecting not only the constitutional rights of bail agents, but also those of the defendants that we use of our services. We'll be right back, and when we come back, we're going to get right into our topic of talking about gypsies, tramps, and thieves.
Mm-hmm.
days ago, Mama would do whatever he could. Preach a little gospel, sell a couple bottles of Dr. Good. Dear please, 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 we hear it from the people of the town. They call us, dear please, please. But every night all the men would come around and lay their money down. A boy just out of Mobile gave him a ride, filled him with a hot meal. I was 16, he was 21. Rode with us from Memphis, and Papa would have shot him if he knew what he'd done. Money down. Never had schooling, but it taught me well with its smooth southern style. 3 months later, I'm a gal in trouble, and I haven't seen him for a while. Oh, I haven't seen him for a while. She was born in the wagon of a traveling show. Her mama had to dance the money they throw. Grandpa do whatever he could. Preach a little gospel, sell a couple bottles of Dr. Good. Dear please, 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 we hear it from the people of the town. They call us, dear please, please, please. But every night all the men would come around and lay their money down.
Good morning, America. This is Carlos Antonio Montenegro, and I'm a licensed California bail agent living and working in the city of Los Angeles, and I'm also the chairman of the American Bail Agents Union. Well, here we are today talking about it again, discrimination. I promise you that this season on the California Bail Reform 2018 show that we're going to pick topics that might be very sensitive and topics that many people may not want to talk about, but if we don't talk about it together as a industry, even though some of these incidents might be isolated incidents, they're definitely happening at other agencies out there, we're not going to get anywhere. We're spending an awful lot of money right now in California as we fight to survive. The bail industry is a wonderful place to be as a worker, as an owner of a company, but there are many avenues that we can take to bring this industry into the forefront, into a respectable position in the American life in our society. Traditionally, bail agencies are associated with really piracy or pirate ships. We get the people in, we fleece some of their money, they get to go out, but no one really talks about the whole how it works completely, because if you're not part of the bail industry, you really don't, you more than likely are not going to understand. I didn't understand it. I just happened to get into the bail industry by, I guess, chance. When I first got in, I really didn't know anything about it. So I had to, you know, learn as I went along. But as my journey, took place, I discovered many different types of people along the way. Many, let's just say, issues that need to be addressed that haven't been addressed yet. I'd like to share those with you. I'm okay with sharing them with you because in all circumstances and all situations, I was not the only one to be there present or to be a witness or that can give testimony about these events. It was pretty widespread. I don't have to go into any names or anything like that because that's not important. All you have to know is that these are situations that are happening all over the place, and that other members of the bail agent community need to be aware of, and also the surety companies. And I guess that brings us into our big topic of today. Well, first of all, we're going to talk about 10 reasons for the California Bail Agency to go union, and we're going to encompass that and address that topic as we go along in our journey today. And you're going to see by the end, you're going to say, damn, there were like 55 different reasons why we should go union. We're in bail reform right now. Like I was saying before, there are numerous groups that have different positions of philosophies of what should happen. There are the orthodox reformists who say that the bail industry is to blame for discrimination within the jails. That's why people are not being able to get out of jail and exercising their Eighth Amendment. That's untrue. There are situations where some of the bail agencies should be held accountable because they have prevented impeded justice and have stopped people from exercising their Eighth Amendment right. But as an industry, we can only do what we're given. And if we're given instructions, for example, the bail schedules and the bail set at a high rate, what are we to do? Okay. We also, it's a private industry also. So that means that we're bound by laws and regulations, also by the Department of Insurance and our surety companies, that each one has their own particular rules and regulations of the requirements of who can bail out and who can't, or what the requirements, not who can't bail out, but the requirements for different types of bail, if it's a high-level offender, low-level, or offender, etc. And this is up front. But there's a lot of things that are happening in the bail industry that people need to be aware of. So if you were to ask me, I'm a bail agent and a bail agency owner, I'm going to definitely say that I believe that this industry can be saved, and I think it is it's in the interest of not only of the people, of justice and justice. So at any rate here, we've spent a lot of money lobbying people in Sacramento, trying to get them to not go completely with this SB 10 and bail reform and eliminate it. But although that is important, what really is more important, I believe, is how do we reform our agencies and make them more compliant with state and federal laws, not only for the employees, but for the defendants that we bail out from jail and treat them with respect. And how do we organize our bail agencies under one banner? And how do we organize our agencies to be standardized? For example, I've been at numerous bail agencies before owning my own company, and I can tell you that the HR policy was either they didn't have a department, so that means right from the get-go, that tells you that that's an area that needs to be addressed and needs to be implemented in that agency, even though they might be mom and pop agencies, or they might have years in experience, you know, and you know, this is just the, you know, custom, or this is just a tradition. Tradition can be discriminatory, and so we have to look at it. Just because it's tradition doesn't mean it's right, doesn't mean it complies with state and federal law. I'm a straight shooter. I'm right by the book. So if it doesn't comply, it's not going to work for me. And that's one of the reasons why I decided to form the American Bail Agents Union with other people. And right now we're in the process of becoming aligned and affiliated with a national union so we can really implement those principles into the industry and make it something that all of us can say we're proud of. For example, if one agent leaves one agency and they go to a different agency, there should be, besides the laws and regulations of bail from the Department of Insurance and the surety, there should be, a set of rules and regulations, employee handbooks, and nothing should just be like, the magician's hat, pull it out of the hat, you're fired. Good luck and don't let the door hit you on the way out. Or, no one has to be subjected to racism. No one has to be subjected to discrimination. And we're going to talk about that today. I can only tell you my own experiences, what I saw, what I was part of, and it was nothing nice. Let me tell you, some of these agencies are nothing nice, straight out the box, okay? But hopefully this show will help others to focus in on some of these topics besides just the bail reform. We need reform within ourselves, within our own agencies, to be more compliant with state and federal laws. So let's just get right into it, and I'll be right back after this short break.
I'm a tourist, forgotten, and you've thrown away your your ticket, so you have to stay on. But the drumbeat strains of the night remain, and the rhythm of the newborn day. You know, sometime you're bound to leave her, but for now you're gonna stay. In the year of the cat,
America. My name is Carlos Antonio Montenegro. I'm a licensed California bail agent, and I'm also the chairman of the American Bail Agents Union. Welcome to California Bail Reform 2018. Thank you for joining me here so very, very early in the morning for our special show topic, which is not part of our regular show. Our regular shows air every Friday night at 8 p.m. And it's Pacific Standard Time. Well, today is a topic that I wanted to deviate off the map a little bit, and we were going to talk about should surety companies be held legally accountable for bail agencies discriminating against African Americans, disabled people, the GLB community members, gypsies, and prostitutes. Well, that is something that, although I believe that the bail industry is in denial here in California, I can't speak for the outside of it, but I can talk about it here in California that I've actually met other people from other agencies, and we've all come to the conclusion it's pretty widespread, and that's sad to say. And that is one of the reasons why I believe that the American Bail Agents Union needs to be implemented at different agencies, or all of the agencies, or a union in general, in order to protect the rights of its workers, in order to protect the rights of even the defendants that bail from our bail use our bail services, because of the fact that we have to respect them and their rights also. Some of the stories that we're going to talk about right now, I'm not linking them to any agency or any one person or anything like that, but these are just my personal experience that, many of them were witnessed, and there were, witnesses, and so I don't have a problem with discussing it, because if we don't discuss it, then we're not going to be able to move forward. And it also, too, then you'll be able to see the driving force that I have in this industry to help and protect it. Okay, I believe that surety companies should be held accountable and liable for their bail agencies that are caught with their pants down, discriminating against all of the people and groups of people that we talked about, when it's blatant or if they've been found guilty of doing that. And how would that be held? How would they be held accountable? Well, they can be. The only time usually big industry, learns its lesson is when they have deep, right in the deep pockets, through heavy fines that could be levied upon these surety companies that want to back these agencies that are caught discriminating against people, okay? And some of these agencies, believe it or not, even though it's being policed over or watched over by the Department of Insurance, they are getting away with so much. The Department of Insurance, yes, it can regulate, but they're sort of – their hands are tied many, many, many times because other – some of the actions of these companies fall into other realm of other agencies. And so it's hard to to get them for everything. And then only after a period of time, after they've done a lot of harm, or you know, groups of individuals or witnesses come forth, that these federal and state agencies can really hold them accountable. But at any rate, I just wanted to throw out some other ideas that came in from yesterday's show. One of our writers wrote into my email and said, "Well, why don't why doesn't the state of California have its, instead of having these surety companies that are here participating with these agencies that may be discriminating, why don't they just have a state-backed surety company?" And agencies can still be private, but they can be used under a state-backed surety company to enforce and ensure that federal laws are being observed, and that the surety company, if it was a federal or state-backed agency, would be able to have the power to go in and police these industry and to make sure that somebody's accountable for some of these very cruel, humiliating, and very harming actions of a few people in the industry. Okay, the sad part is that some of these agencies that I worked with were mainstream, are quite popular, and they have good policies, but some of the policies they have are definitely against state and federal laws. Okay, so let's talk about gypsies. Let's talk about gypsies first, okay? In a couple agencies that I worked at, this is just for, the public to be aware about, and I'm hoping that this show is being heard by, federal agencies, et cetera, state, so that they can investigate this, and hoping that they will bring an end to this discrimination, which is so widespread. Gypsies. At a couple agencies that I worked at, there were times where they distributed packages of documents that said, a list of gypsy surnames in the United States linked to crime, organized crime. And it was a big, thick list, let me tell you that. So I don't know where they got that list from. And anything coming off the internet could be factual, could be propaganda, could be dissemination of false light. I mean, we're talking about all kinds of different motives behind of this kind of information. Not everything on the internet is correct, and there are smear campaigns against people. So they actually gave the employees a list of all different surnames that were linked to gypsy families, and we were told that if anybody calls up there to the agency and they have these last names, if we found that they were African-American, if they weren't African-American, because some of these last names were linked to African-Americans, also very common, then we were to do a lot of investigation. And if we found out that they were, through certain questions, they were gypsy, we were told that we need to deny them bail, which is totally against the Eighth Amendment. It's criminal and it's an offense, which is federal. Another issue that arose, too, is about prostitutes. Any individual that called in from jail seeking bail because they were being detained for alleged prostitution or solicitation charges, if we found out that their charges were solicitation, we were immediately told to not write their bail. And not only that, but we were told to tell them, sorry, we don't do prostitute bail here. Not even sorry. We don't write bails for prostitutes here, or our surety company does not allow us to write for prostitution bail for prostitutes here. The last time I looked in the Eighth Amendment, since everybody's guaranteed the right to bail, and there's also clauses in the California Constitution about that, and to deny women or men that have been allegedly only of being detained for a alleged crime of prostitution, that is unforgiving, and it's unbelievable of just the blatant, reckless behavior of these agencies, and they thought it was okay, all right? So my thing is that if it's just okay, then I would like to have a federal investigation on this, and I would like the prosecutor, federal prosecutor, or the Attorney General's Office of California to investigate this alleged discrimination against prostitutes. okay? Mainly in Los Angeles that I know of, there's three jails that mainly, or police stations that were mainly associated with mainly prostitutes, although all of them, the first one is 77th Division in Los Angeles, the second one was Van Nuys, and the third one is Hollywood Division. All right. So if these agents, if these law enforcement companies, I mean law enforcement agencies are there, and they allow these people that are being detained to call bail agencies, because there's something called a jail board. The jail board is there with advertisements of different bail agencies. So supposedly these jail bail companies are supposed to be compliant with the rules and regulations of state and federal, okay, and also with the Department of Insurance. Why would you give somebody false illusion to allow them to call these companies if you already know that they are going to be denied bail? Not only are they being harmed by being arrested and being labeled by these companies, but they're being denied by these companies for bail. And that is that's ridiculous. So for those people out there who say, well, I think you're just blowing smoke up our ass, let's talk about the realistic of how to find the evidence. Well, the phone calls are usually listened to by or monitored by law enforcement when people call from jail to the outside, and they have to do that because there's a lot of different other things that could happen, other crimes on the outside. So the first thing is, if that's the case, and law enforcement from these three places or other places are aware that right from the get-go that the companies say right on the phone, we don't do prostitution bail here, that's a federal violation right there. Why aren't they reporting this to the Department of Insurance or to the proper federal or state authorities that these companies are denying bail? The reason why is because they just don't care. And by not caring, they now have got themselves an accomplice with these companies, bail agency companies, to just flat out deny prostitutes or people that have just been alleged a prostitution bail. Now they're in cahoots, okay? That's what I think. Now, the other thing is that how would the federal prosecutor ascertain evidence for this? Well, all of the companies that provide phone service for the jails, they have mandated to hold evidence of phone recordings from these, for several years, and it'll be very easy to subpoena 3 or 4 years of phone conversations from various jails from the jail to these bail agencies and listen to the conversations and find out where the person called, because a number will pop up, and there's a list of numbers. And from there, the investigators can go and investigate these companies and put an end to this this nonsense. The other thing is that they're being denied bail. So if a person who's denied bail at the first stage and they go through arraignment and they can't find anybody to bail them out, so basically these people are stuck in the system for maybe 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 months because the system is over inundated, backlog with cases. So what happens to the woman who was just walking down the street in a known area of prostitution? Well, I don't know about you, but the last time I was in South Central, that whole thing of a known area, that's just not going to work for me. Because poverty areas like South Central, there are individuals just in various places that are known for this type of thing, solicitation. So it just doesn't cut the mustard, really, that the blanket, the term, they were walking in a known area, so that means it's assumed that they were prostitutes. There are markets in known areas. There's clothing stores in these known areas. There are residents, people's family members that live in these known areas that people have to walk to get there. Just because a woman walks down the street, she might have something sexy on, whatever. They sell the clothes. It's not illegal to buy the clothes, so why are you prosecuting them? So they get popped for allegedly of prostitution. They go to jail. But they were just going really to the market to buy their baby some baby formula, a newborn that they just had. So here we are. They're in jail. They can't get out of jail because not only even if they made the requirements, just that whole stigma of being of, you know, solicitation, that you're never going to find a bail agency here in LA or anywhere that's going to bail them out. So what happens then? Well, here comes Children's Services. They take the baby because the family doesn't want to deal with it. Okay. And then now the baby's in foster care on the system, and maybe the woman, because the case, she might be fighting a case, maybe the case gets overlooked. She might spend 6 months there or more for a $20,000, $30,000 bail, or even a $5,000 bail. And during that time, you know, she gets brought in the court, the children's court, and what is the judge look at her? Like, you're a bad person, okay? She hasn't even been convicted yet. And what are the possibilities of them losing custody of that child or even into the system? We're talking about lots of problems here that could arise. These are just what ifs, but they're real scenarios that happen every day. So when I was working in the industry for those locations, I thought about, well, what's the workaround for this? And that's why I formed this nonprofit called Above Below Technology GPS Monitoring Center. The reason why I formed it was is because people were being denied their right to bail, but the company's excuse was that they're flighty, they don't show up to court, because they're too busy making money at the motel, okay, being a prostitute. That's so stereotype, you know, it's ridiculous. So I thought to myself, well, what about if the GPS is even higher? You know, a regular GPS is like $300-something, the four-something. Even if it was a court-mandated GPS monitor, that's $8 to $12 a day, which is usually brings somebody over their budget, and they can't afford it, so they can't get out. So we decided to form this nonprofit called Above Below Technology GPS Monitoring Center. And lo and behold, we've been able to, you know, through some sacrifice, working with other resources and other individuals of the community, not only in the bail community, but from the legal resource community and also community activists, we came to the conclusion we've been able to do this for individuals. And right now, for example, I'm proud to say that we have a program where we can get people out if qualified for $199. That's it, versus whatever. You know, they can even get out for as low as $19.99 a month. So I think we've done our job for the community. We're not, you know, busting the bank, and we're not making any money, really. That's not the point of it. The point is we're giving people the opportunity of freedom and the benefit of the doubt, and to be able to fight their case from the outside so that they have a chance in society. Because once they get convicted, that goes on their record, and then it's a whole other domino effect that happens to them. What if they were in Section 8 or when they're – it's an apartment. Okay, 6 months of rent not paid. I don't think the landlord is going to wait for that. Their shit gets booted out into the street, sold, chopped up, thrown away. By the time they get back, there ain't no apartment anymore for them. But the good part about that is they were found innocent. Okay, it was just mistaken identity. Can you imagine that? In general, okay, so let's talk about gypsies. The gypsies, you know, have been around, you know, I've read about them in the Bible and all this stuff like that. I happen to have friends that are gypsies. The stereotype of the bail industry that has for gypsies is horrible. It's that same thing. Gypsies, you know, move around all the time and they take off. Well, you know, we are in America here. You know, people can travel wherever they want to unless they, you know, they're not able to. You know, just as long as there's co-signers and you know, GPS could be a good way of doing it. But I don't think just saying you're a gypsy, you got to be in a GPS monitor is cool either. But worst part, handing a list over to your employees to wait for people to call from jail looking for bail and deny them bail based on a list of gypsy surnames linked to criminal families in the United States. That's unacceptable and unforgiving. The other thing that I did notice with some of these agencies was their treatment of employees. For example, if an employee left there or they were fired, et cetera, a typical situation that happened was that they would take the employee's picture and put it in a wanted poster, hang it up in the agency. None of us were allowed to take it down. And the wanted poster said, I'll never forget, it was really, really horrible. They had put one up of this woman up in there who was really struggling, already down on her luck when she left there. And then here comes this wanted poster over the Xerox machine that says, wanted for having sex with animals, having sex with small children, stay away from her. And then they drew a pig snout over her face because she was a little bit chubby to further damage her and to malign her character and to make it look as if she was some shady, corrupt person. Now, I think that's horrible. All right. None of us were. We tried to take it down, but we were told if we took it down, we'd be fired. That stood up there for about 6 months. Not only did the general manager have it there, but the owner every day, if they made Xerox copies, had to take a look at it right in front of them. So I don't really know what was going on there. If we had a union, that would not have happened because a union rep would have stood up and said, "Take that down, or you guys are going to have to open your wallet and pay the individual for damages." Another thing that did happen too, and like talking about posters, there was a situation where a gentleman got married there, and I guess one of the managers didn't like the best man that they had chosen for their wedding because they were an ex-employee that was fired also. So what they did was they took a picture of the two of them together at their wedding, put it on the refrigerator, circled it, and said, "Don't take this poster down or you'll be fired," and put down Brokeback Mountain on it. Which is really a slap in the face for the GLBT community because Brokeback Mountain, obviously, they were trying to say that it relates to a story about two gentlemen that became involved in a same-sex relationship. That is unacceptable, okay? Activity like that is unacceptable. So these are some of the things that definitely has happened. So the message for the federal prosecutor and for the state of California, for any agency that is listening to this show, is do your investigation and do it well. Go and subpoena the phone records from the jails and to find out what's going on so you can understand how this is happening. Do you know that if this ever went to court or a class action lawsuit, this could cost the bail industry billions of dollars, millions, maybe over the billions of dollars, okay? Because not only that, but there's other situations that are happening too that need to be corrected, like surrendering defendants because of lack of payment, which is against the law, and it's easier to find out the trail of who they did it to. It's just really easy. It's so blatant and it's so right there in your face. I can't believe that the Department of Insurance hasn't even said anything about it. But once again, if this was a union, or bail agency, this I can definitely tell you would not be happening. All right. So this is what I'm talking about, bail reform. I guess the big topic that I'm always talking about and other people are talking about as well as it works for these agencies as well is the topic of black bail. Black bail was a term that was used that I learned at these agencies that they thought it was funny. So they termed it black bail. Meaning that anybody that calls in from to bail out, if we found that they're African American, immediately we were advised and instructed to raise their standards for the requirements to bail out. For example, if it was for a regular person meaning white, that was calling in, if we asked them for $500, we'd ask the African American for $1,500, maybe $2,000. If we asked for a co-signer for one person, for a white person, for one, we'd ask for three co-signers because the common belief, and this is a quote that came straight out the box from one of the managers, quote unquote, black people just don't pay, but we're not racist. We just want to get paid. All of these statements are witnessed and were witnessed by many employees. In fact, there is actually a script that we were given at one of the agencies to ask questions when people call in from bail. And the second question on the list says, "What race are you?" Well, "What race are you?" is a question that comes from deals with discrimination. Why? Because bail is colorless. It doesn't make a difference what ethnicity the person is, what their sexual orientation is, what color they are. Everybody is allowed and eligible for bail under the Eighth Amendment, under the Constitution of the United States, which sets the bail standards. Now, there are some, there are some that are barred from that, which have nothing to do with low-level kinds of crimes or anybody's color. For all those that haven't read the Eighth Amendment, you need to go ahead and do that. And that's not only for bail agents, but for the general public. This is a typical bail agency kind of discrimination that is happening everywhere. And just because it's practiced, you know, in many different places, doesn't mean that it's correct. I never saw anything like that when I studied to be certified to become a licensed bail agent from the Department of Insurance. And it's surprising that the Department of Insurance hasn't done anything about it, because I know that I'm sure many people have complained. This whole thing about surrenders, the surrendering people of color at their first at their arraignment or even at the second hearing, because the idea of they're just not going to pay, and then we may not ever, our agency may never get paid. These are all things that I believe that now we're into the 15th reason of why we should be union. Some of the reasons, personal reasons for employees, we're going to discuss when we come back. We'll be right back. Antonio Montenegro. I'm a licensed bail agent in the state of California, and I'm also the chairman of the American Bail Agents Union. Today we had a short show, which is off a little bit off sidetrack from our regular show, which is on Fridays at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And today we wanted to talk about, should surety companies be legally accountable for bail agencies who are caught discriminating, and also 10 reasons for California bail agencies to go union. Well, one of the reasons why I think in bail agents should support a union in California is that we don't have anybody to help us with most bail I mean, most unions have their own in-house type of agencies or affiliate agencies that that are, you know, institutions that will help their members, such as we don't have anybody that that will give car loans. We don't have anybody that will give mortgage loans or home loans. We don't have anybody, a credit union, you know, for bail agents. And there's certainly a big, large industry, and we have enough people that we could support such an institution like that. What about 401k savings, okay, retirement savings? And what about dental and medical? All of these things are important. What about, you know, maternity leave? You know, if you're a woman and you get pregnant in the bail industry, you are out of luck, okay? Congratulations for the baby, but you're out of luck because while you're gone, somebody else just took your job, and while you're gone, you don't get paid, all right? If you what about minimum wage? None of that is being practiced here, and that is a travesty and really part of the bail industry of California that needs to be corrected. Also, fathers are entitled to maternity leave, too. If their, you know, wife gives birth, they're entitled to time to also get to know their child and to be with their wife and child, all right? So there are so many things that need to be corrected and worked on in the bail industry. We're not going to do it in just tomorrow. But if we don't start doing something today, for example, start thinking about how to correct this. We have bail reform coming up soon, which is right now in front of the California State Assembly, and we're real close to maybe getting our industry booted out, okay? I, for one, I don't support that. I think that, but we do need reform within our own agencies, and the only way that that's going to happen is that if we gather together and say enough is enough. We're not going to continue fleecing the community or harming them by discriminatory policies or racial profiling these people or discriminating against the GLB community, or against gypsies, against prostitutes and disabled people, and stand up and really, really be a part of that Eighth Amendment right to bail. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Carlos Antonio Montenegro. Thank you for joining me here today on this short show today. I'll see you on Friday at 8 p.m. Have a great day.
Disappear by the blue tile wall.
like a river running through the air of the kind.
But for now you're gonna stay in the year of the kind.